Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the From the Arsenal podcast. Todd's ruining things. I'm sure you guys are all used to that by now. It is me, Chris. We're back. We were scared for a minute that we weren't going to have spoilers, but we do have spoilers.
Ooh, that's saucy.
Which is pretty interesting. But before we get to that, we want to talk about ourselves first for a little bit.
Well, who's here?
Well, let me get to it.
All right.
By ourselves, I mean, Brian is on remote. We got Todd, who won't stop talking over me. We have Mike.
I wouldn't do that to you on purpose.
Mike, who's being very considerate. He's a nice all-around guy.
Nothing but love, Chris.
And me. I already introduced myself. Wait, actually, I hate you, Mike, because of the skirmish. But we can bring that up later.
We'll bring it up later. We'll talk about it.
So, yeah, we're going to talk about ourselves a little bit first, but then we want to talk about these spoilers that just came out. For those of you that aren't aware, we had a live in-person skirmish event today at Total Access Games in Ashland, Virginia. At 17?
Yeah, 17. Yeah.
Pretty good turnout. I know we were hoping for getting over 20, but...
We had a couple people that had things come up.
Non-believers. We'll have to get rid of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, things happen. So, like, I mean, I feel
no,
like...
No excuse.
I mean, damn. Look, I'm willing to be forgiving since it's my shop.
Well, then you got to go, too.
Well, you know what?
Or weeding out all the non-true believers.
Flesh and blood or die.
Exactly.
All right. Well, yeah. You heard it here. Bitches are dying.
So we had a good event. We actually have two of our top four participants here with us, Brian and Mike. So we're going to let them kind of take over and talk about their day. Todd and I might interject as the losers to talk about some stuff that we had fun with at some point, but we want to let these guys get their story out because this is going to be the only time they ever get this close to achieving glory because we're not going to let it happen again.
Yeah, I mean, that seems fair. Let's see. Why don't we start with so Mike, you and Brian both made top four. And Mike, that's really good. I'll talk to you later. So Brian,
how are you doing?
It feels salty over here, Brian.
Yeah, right.
So, Brian, you were on. What were you on today?
So I was on Ira, as always. I kind of talk about that a lot on this podcast.
Yep. And was there anything saucy or spicy you added to your list, or was this pretty much a stock list? What was the deal?
So, for the most part, you're going to see kind of a cookie-cut kind of Ira that you're used to seeing, except for the fact that I went for just straight aggro on everything. I'm trying to soak cards out of people's hands as best as possible. I did swap out a Riza Reflexes, so I only had one in the deck, for a red Soulbeak Strike, just to make sure I can keep the pressure on. And I also went ahead and kind of narrowed up the metagame that we have in our location and subbed in Gambler's Gloves for the robes, the Rune Blade, or sorry, the Rune Chant robes, whatever you call it.
The Null Rune?
Yeah, Null Rune, that's it. The Null Rune robes, I went ahead and axed that and brought in the Gambler's Gloves, which actually did help one time, and it was actually really successful. So that's the deck.
All right, so why don't you give us like a round by round, man? Tell us what you played, how the game went.
Spend a lot of time on your first game that was probably your best game of the whole day.
Yeah, so that our first game was on camera, so we're going to actually have at least six rounds at some point that you're going to be able to watch. Just watch it live. That'll be fun. But the first round was me and Chris, so we ended up playing.
You didn't say best game of the day.
And it was a very long and tedious game of the day. It was the longest game of the day. We had some draws, but for at least the way it was going, it was pretty long. It went to fatigue on you, Chris, if I'm not mistaken. So
yes, it did.
But when you gain like 70 life, and I have to just keep on, Chuck Norris kicking you, it's a little difficult, It's like dagger, dagger, Chuck Norris, or flying kick, if you want to call it that. So it did take a very long time, but it was a very good match. Just back and forth until he finally just ran out of cards and gas to keep going.
Yeah,
and that was the last run.
Yeah, and that is one thing about the way that Guardian is built, it'll burn some cards in and of itself with the Blessing and Deliverances and stuff like that. So it does burn a couple cards doing some of the shenanigans it can do. But I like that list a lot for Guardian. And I think it probably gave it the best matchup it could have into Ira. I don't know what else I could have done with it anymore.
I even remembrance back 3 Blessing of the Deliverance, and he still killed me.
Yep.
Damn.
He did. I was just like, that's a lot of blessings, and it's just good grief, man. That's a whole kick. So, so the next one, the next round was against Ranger, and I believe that was against Sean McGowan. Standard kind of Ranger deck, trying to get, of course, arrows into the arsenal to shut down turns, and it was working there for a bit. He was able to get some damage in there, which basically shut me down to only do one attack pretty much a turn on a couple of them. But at least I was able to get enough pitch and massive consecutive back-to-back hits to be able to take it down on that one. So that was round two. Let's see. Round three was with Ben Zachary, and that was the Ira Mirror match.
Yeah,
he played a little bit differently with it than previous, but I was able to take that down. I had pretty much the advantage and was just constantly putting pressure on as much as I possibly could. Fourth round was against Todd.
Yeah,
and I never did get to use the gambler gloves on him, but we had a very tight match all the way down to the end, where it came down to one specific over aggressive attack on your end. Was that right, Todd?
Yeah, I just went a little too hard one turn.
Yeah, and it drained a lot of my cards. I was able to push back a little bit, but for the most part, I had to really stretch on those last turns to be able to pull out enough damage to get through before, you know, you coming back at me with something massive.
Yeah, yeah, it was a good game though. It was nice and tight.
Absolutely.
I thought I had an out early. All I needed was a reckless swing at one point before you got the double sigil off.
Yep.
And then I was like, well, that dream's gone. so
yeah, that kind of hurt.
Yeah. So, but it was a good game. It was a lot of fun. And then, so that was round four, right?
That was round four. Mm-hmm.
And you ended up, did you end up 4-0?
Oh, I went up 4-1.
All right. So, and then who did you play round in the
first top cut was against Michael Kartson, and he was playing Warrior. I ended up pretty much just drawing enough gas to put him on the back heel constantly, and he wasn't getting the cards he needed to go again or to constantly pump up his sword enough to be able to get through. I always had like an answer like the red flick flack or the yellow flick flack. To keep him, you know, still back on one heel where he wasn't hitting twice a turn to get his counters up there. So it just kind of swung that way. I've had him come through and do the opposite, which is just nothing but gas on his end. And I'm always in the back foot. So that's a fun deck to try out. If you want something different besides Ira, I would suggest taking a look at Warrior.
I will say Mike Kartson has his Warrior deck built, tuned, and he has that deck masterfully built. Like he's got some reps with that deck. When he loses, it's usually because he's drawing bad or his opponent's drawing gas against them. Like that's a good deck. So for you beating him in the top four, that's a solid win.
Yeah, it was a good one. And then of course the last one was against James Chang with his KO deck, and that went down to basically a dice roll. I was at, I want to say, 6 life versus he went down to 1 life. And he came over the top with a couple attacks I was able to deflect off, and I had already busted my gloves to stop a one big giant attack beforehand. So he was able, and he had actually used his gloves too. So it was a lot of rolling going on. But sadly, he was able to pull the 5 on his last big attack. And if it was for that, I don't know. It might have been interesting to see if I could have get the last damage him, because I was sitting there with another flying kick and a blue along with a tunic. I used a tunic. So it would have been probably something small, but I was hoping to drain cards out of him to put him on the back heel the rest of the turn so that I could hopefully take the advantage. Either way, it was a great match. It went all the way, and we got that on camera. So fun times all around.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, Mike, you also had some reps into this dreaded KO list that ran the day, didn't you?
Yeah, hit it twice.
Yeah. I had to play against James Chang twice.
That's interesting.
It's phenomenal.
So why don't you tell us how that went?
So I played Kano, not KO, Kano. Uh-huh. Anyway, Kano for the no, I didn't win. So I played Kano round one. It was funny because we actually had a surprising amount of Runeblade players show up. And Kano loves OTK Runeblade. Kano just has a fun field day against OTK Runeblade. And it was funny because we were out front talking, and the guy walked up and was like, "You know what, Mike, you have a good chance today because there's a lot of Runeblades. Unless one of the Runeblade players is going wide, which is hard to do."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Yeah, you're right, I do." So round one, I play against Runeblade.
Was it go wide?
It was go wide.
Oh, that's awesome.
I wanted to roll off. I went first because I love going first with Kano. And my opening hand was three blues. I did some type of shenanigans. I pumped my Crucible Aether Weave, swung for like two because I had blues in my hands. Of course, the player, she blocked. And then Arsenal drew my hand back up and drew four more blues. She swung wide. I blocked out so I could get rid of all those blues. And on my turn, drew back up, drew four more blues.
That's good.
So I drew 12 blues straight out of 17 blues on my deck. It felt great. But I had to work my tail off. I did get the win. But it was rough. I was down to two life. And she was a new player. She asked me afterwards, you know, did she make any play mistakes? I said, no, you played great. But I drew very poorly against her. Had to push through some rounds to get through it. But she is a new player. I think if she keeps out this game and keeps playing on the same deck, she might be. Especially since she's now playing Runeblade, go wide Runeblade, which is hard to pull off. I think she's got something there. Round two, I had to play against James Chang. He wanted to roll off. Told me to go first. And I was like, oh, you done messed up, AA Ron. He did not mess up because my opening hand was all blues again.
That seems good.
So what I did was I of Ophelia, that was in my opening hand, opted to floating on three to Kano trigger. The top card of the deck was a blue snapback. I cast it anyway just to get blue out of my hand at instant speed. And then my other blue that I played a blue from my hand, which was a potion, energy potion. I drew back up, drew three more blues, so I'm sitting on four blues again. James Chang goes and does 24 damage to me on his first turn. 24.
Seems legit.
I don't feel bad for you.
No, I know. I'll get to game three in a minute. So James Chang swung with his club. He did what's the card that intimidates and all your attacks get plus two for the round?
Blood Rush Bellow.
Yeah, so he did that. Discarded the six, swung with his claw for five, swung with his claw for five, and then he played a six attack and rolled a d6, hit the six, so that swung for 12 plus two, so 14. So it's 5, 5, and 14, so he swung for 24. I block out everything, use my gear. I'm sitting on two life at the end of round two. I stall the game out for three more rounds, and then he finally gets through and is done. And I go outside and wish that I was a smoker because I needed a cigarette after that. Round three, I believe it was against you, right, Chris?
Yeah, it was.
Round three. And Chris built a Bravo deck with Todd. They built the deck that we play tested last night that I could not get through. It was a Bravo deck built to destroy Kano. It was amazing. It was filled with blue pitches. He's running a four null rune, four null rune.
The sledge.
So he, on his turn, he pitches six, swings for six, two floating. So if I Kano trigger to swing back, he's floating two and still has two cards in his hand. And on my turns, when I try to do anything, it's somebody sitting on nothing but blues. So I couldn't, you know, I was like, I know how this game goes, Chris. So round one, Chris dominates and swings with, what was it? What did you swing with round one?
First was a crippling.
Crippling crush, right. Dominate it, hits me hard. Round two, you didn't dominate it, but you swung with a what?
Spinal.
On top of this, you're healing. So we go into round three. I'm at 9 life, and you're at 22.
Mm-hmm.
So Chris, on round three, turn three, he's like, I feel comfortable doing this. He empties his hand and swings with a 10 dominate, swinging lethal. And I'm just like, well, this is my chance. So I just like, yeah, Chris, you got this game. I'm just going to see what happens. And I KO triggered. I popped my boots, played a sonic boom, boosted for my arsenal. So I swung for four. Chris had no cards in hand, so he took four. The sonic boom triggered, top decked into another sonic boom. That sonic boom triggered, top decked into a lesson of lava. That lesson of lava played, triggered, put a blazing aether. So I swung back to Chris. At Chris, after all that was said and done, I swung at 28 to his 22 life. I swung for 28, and he had nothing to block with.
Good God.
Yeah. So I don't feel bad for you.
No, I know you don't feel bad for me.
Well, I took 24.
But you got a free beer out of it.
I did buy you a beer afterwards. Yeah, I did promise Chris a beer because that was straight luck. Chris had that. He didn't make any play mistakes. He played it beautifully. My deck just answered my prayers from the previous round when James Chang played with my ding-a-ling and I couldn't do anything about it. So then I go to the final round. I play against Ira, Zach Benz, who has been playing Ira for a while, very good Ira player. But I have had a lot of reps against Ira, and I feel comfortable against it with Kano. And he was not running the Zephyr Needle, which is interesting to me against Kano. I think he might have been worried about the absorbed in aether defense reaction, but yeah, he didn't run it against me. I don't run absorbs in aethers because it's only good against the Ira matchup, and like I said, I'm comfortable against Ira, so I don't do it. So I was able to get that win and make the cut to top four at 3-1, where I had to play against James Chang again. And the second time I played against James Chang, we were going back and forth. We were doing fine. We get to the point where he's at 2 life and I'm at 6. I'm sitting on a blue and a yellow in my hand. And the tunic is on 3 counters, so I have the tunic. And he swings at me with a 6 with intimidate. And I only have 2 cards left in my hand because I had to block out his claws. And if he rolls a 1 through 4, he only hits for 5 because he's the Blood Rush Bellow, so he's +2. So it's 6, it goes to 3, +2, so it's 5. So I'm still alive. I count my deck, I count my discard, I look at the cards in my hand, and I have 75% of my cards left in my deck. Swing for either 1 that costs 1 to play, or they swing for 2 that cost 2 to play, and I'm sitting on a blue pitch and a yellow pitch in my hand. So I can Kano trigger, flip the top card of my deck, cast it for 2 if it's a cost 2, and do lethal to him because he's out of cards, he has nothing floating, he's done. Or if it's a 1, cast it and pay 1 with the Crucible Aether Weave, with my weapon, and pump it by 1 and swing lethal again. So I have a 75% chance of hitting a card that does it. I trigger Kano, flip it. It's a potion.
Hey, Mike, you know what? You had a 25% chance not to hit it.
So, yeah, I did. You're right. So I hit the potion. No problem. I play the potion at instant speed for free. Mm-hmm. Use a potion. Use a tunic. It's another 3. The Kano trigger again. And I still have the yellow in my hand. Kano trigger again. Guess what it was?
What?
The eye. The eye of Ophelia.
He had a 25% chance
that so it was going to be a... I can't do anything with that. I can't banish it. I can't cast it. So I put the eye back. It's like, all right, well, I missed. It's time for you to roll a die. If you roll 1 through 4, the game goes to the next round with you sitting at 2 life and me sitting at 1 life, which I feel comfortable with. If you roll a 5 or 6, I lose. He rolls a 5. Huh. Guess who won it? Gambler's gloves so bad.
Yeah, I can see that.
This guy right here. Guess who doesn't have gambler's gloves?
Yeah.
This guy right here.
Man, all you had to do was just ask it. I would have let you borrow it just like the eye.
Yeah. Brian, well, first off, Brian let me borrow the eye That's amazing. He let me borrow a, what, $500 card to throw into my deck to play. So thank you for that, Brian.
And Mike wanted to tear it up that last game.
I did. Because I top checked the eyes. Like, I can't do anything with this. No, but I didn't even think about Gambler's Gloves. I was like, you know what? I mean, what if I run against a Reinar that's using because, Todd, you're running Reinar, and I've had play reps to your Reinar. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to Reinar and do scab skins and get three actions? You can only ever – you usually only ever do two anyway.
Yeah, that's all I need.
And true. But I was okay with that. I was like, I don't – but, yeah, I just – freaking KO, man. He rolled that five and swung for 12 plus two, 14.
Yeah, it was – and speaking of James's list, like, his list is pretty interesting. Like,
and he's been playing online –
he's been playing in, like, every skirmish.
He's got reps with that list.
Yeah, he knows how to play it.
So he deserves the win. I'm a little salty about it because it's a dice roll. But, man, he does. He's been putting his reps and his time in with that deck. So
it's a risk. Yeah. It's a big risk, and he was able to pull it off.
Yeah.
And as opposed to going through the list card for card here, we'll post this up on the on our Facebook page if people want to take a look at it and make sure he tags it in the FabDB as well. But it's an interesting list. Like, just some interesting things I took from it looking at his list. Like, he's running a brute list with Scar for Scars in it, which I thought was pretty saucy.
He's also running Ravenous Rabbles.
And he's also running, Ravenous Rabbles. Like, I just thought those were pretty spicy adds into that list.
And when I'm looking back at it, like, that last game, like, he did against the first game because he swung for 24 turn one. But when I played him in the top four, those Ravenous Rabbles and those Scar for Scars paid off for him so much because he had turns where I was actually able to swing back because he didn't hit me early on. Mm-hmm. That he was able to do multiple attacks in rounds without having to worry about a KO trigger and him rolling poorly or rolling scab skins to get the extra actions. He was able to do stuff like that to get those extra attacks against me to draw those cards out of my hand. Yeah. So it's a pretty effective list. I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't count the first game taking that much damage round one because I was just on the back. But see, the second time I played him, I saw how his deck worked, and it was pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's kind of like a go wide brute.
Yeah,
Because he also was running claws.
He's running the two claws, go wide brute, and that's rough to play against.
Yeah, it was very interesting.
He's not trying to intimidate that much with the deck, but when he does intimidate, it's usually devastating.
Yeah, that's probably usually a game ender.
Yeah. That's what happened to me. Like, when he swung with that last round, he was intimidating, so I had a choice to either lose one of my cards and then block and hope he doesn't roll it, or just Kano trigger and go for it.
Yeah.
And so I Kano triggered and went for it. But it wouldn't matter if I didn't Kano trigger anyway because he rolled a five or six. So he was still dealing double damage.
Yeah. And his deck also didn't have a lot of high pitch values. He only had nine yellows and eight blues.
There's many times where, like, he ran a full Null Rune set against me. And there was many times where I swung out and he pitched three cards and could only block three.
Yeah.
So he was running very low pitch value cards in the deck, which is mind blowing. But he, like I said, he's had so many reps with the deck. He plays he's playing online constantly, so he knows that deck in and out.
Yeah.
And I've said it on here before, like, it doesn't matter what kind of deck it is. You could play that if you play that deck and you know the ins and outs, you know, you can play through some bad rounds.
Yeah.
And he's definitely played that deck so much he knows it's ins and outs. If I don't stutter there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I'd like to just thank everybody for coming. Like I said, we had 17. We were a little bit under what we were hoping for. But we had some people that kind of called out last minute, had some family stuff come up.
It was one of the only live skirmish events in North America.
Yeah, man.
That's kudos to Tag here in Ashland, Virginia.
So
shameless plug.
Get a plug in there. Todd, do you have anything you want to say about your deck today? How you performed?
You say deck or dick?
Deck.
Okay.
Yeah, right, that's we'll save that for the porn channel.
That's for
porn. I don't have anything much to add about my list. I played Reinar. It felt good. I made a play mistake in round two, and got a little overly aggressive. When I knew that pushing that hard was only going to get me one or two more points, but it wasn't going to get me one or two more cards out of his hand. And that was the difference, right? Like, you want to be able to get that extra card to limit what they can do next turn. And it just wasn't a hard enough push, to warrant that. And he played it properly. He didn't overblock or overextend. And that was enough to leave the door open for him to get back in next round. And it wasn't a major play mistake. It was minor, but at the same time, like, those are the things we're trying to correct, right? Like, making those play mistakes.
Blitz is one of those things that if you make one tiny mistake, it just punishes you horribly.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does. You don't have much options.
I want to say one thing, though. Chris, you had two losses. You went 2-2 today, right?
Mm-hmm.
You were playing a deck that you had how many weeks did you have playtesting that deck?
I had 14 hours.
14 hours. And your losses were to who?
To Brian and Michael.
So you lost to the top four. Your two losses were to top four players of the deck that you had 14 hours to play with.
Well, and you cheated.
And I cheated. Dang. Because I'm Kano. But that's impressive. I just want to say that.
Thanks, man.
I mean, no, like kudos. Like, that's like, I won out of luck. So that's impressive. And Todd, you lost to who?
I lost to Brian.
Lost to Brian, who was came in second.
Yeah.
And who was your other loss to?
Benz, who came in fifth.
Zach Benz, who came in fifth.
Yeah.
And I had to beat to get to top four. And Zach Benz is a great Ira player. So
yeah.
I mean, we have a solid group of players here in our group. We play each other a lot. I'm excited. So when these COVID things release and we can actually play some large events, I think we're going to have some good showings.
I think so. I mean,
I really do. When we're not playing each other and bumping heads, and we go to a 50-person tournament where we don't have to play each other, I think we're going to have a good showing.
Sure. I agree with that.
I'm excited about that.
So, I guess the next thing is, yay, fuck Blitz.
Yay. Yeah, we're tired of Blitz.
No more Blitz.
like I said, Blitz is one of those things. Someone has a good draw, you have a bad draw, and the game turns against you. Or a good dice roll. Ugh. I want to go back to Constructed. Classic Constructed.
I'm ready to go back to Classic Constructed.
I'll play whatever you want me to play, Classic Constructed, as long as it's Classic Constructed.
Yeah. Well, so I'm happy to go back to Classic Constructed. I'm also happy to go back to some limited events, like draft and stuff as well.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because we are picking up new players. We're still growing. And
we got Classic Constructed for 1 month, and then we got to go back to Blitz.
Not even a month?
Not even a month, because we have to go back to Blitz because Romana comes out. We're going to get some stuff, but we're only going to have cards for Blitz.
Yeah.
We're not going to have enough to build a Constructed.
Yeah, so we're getting all excited to go play, like, Wrath and Arcane and Crew and Constructed for a month.
For a month.
To go back in another month and be like, well, I don't have enough shit to build Constructed anymore. Let's play some more Blitz.
Yay, Blitz again. Woo! So, I'm going back to Kano. You can play your stuff you pull from Mono.
So that's gonna be fun.
Well, do you guys want to talk about these spoilers a little bit?
No, I'm done. Let's call it a wraps.
Spoilers, yeah.
Maybe one spoiler, Mike?
Nah, I mean, who cares about spoilers?
Yeah, right?
Everybody?
Everybody and their brother.
Everybody does?
Everybody does.
Well, how about we do this? How about I read it, and then you guys talk about it?
Well, since none of us, me and Todd can't read, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I know Brian can, but I value Brian's opinion on the card more than his ability to read.
Touche.
All right.
I agree with that statement.
So I'm going to do these in the order they were posted to our chat group. That might not be the way that they were initially released. They all kind of came out at the same time anyway. So the first card that I have here is called Eclipse Existence. It is a blue pitch for 0 cost. It's got a cool border around it. It says, whenever an attack you control hits a light hero this turn, you may banish a card from their soul. If you do, they lose 1 health. If you have more health than an opposing light hero, you may banish an action card from your graveyard. And it is a shadow instant.
It's also a common.
It is a common. There's a lot of stuff going on here. There's a few keywords we've never seen before, light being one of them.
I'm just gonna go ahead and say this card's busted.
Soul. Losing a card from their soul is another thing that's new. Shadow is new. What are you guys' impressions of this?
So first off, we called it here on Flesh and Blood that we're gonna have light and shadow sides. Todd called it.
but I took the credit for it because he wasn't here that week.
Yeah, Mike's fucking totally stole that shit.
I did steal it from Ty. Ty did call it. We talked about it in front of the shop about there being light side and dark side.
And then I couldn't show up that week. And so, then Mike's like, oh, hey, guys, I had a great idea.
There's going to be light and shadow.
Listen,
and
this just came to me.
This just came to me. So it was Ty's idea. I just took credit for it. But if you don't listen to this episode, you're going to think that I came over this. So it's okay. That right there is exciting. That we're gonna have light side and dark side, like the Jedi and Dark Sith and all that good stuff. Sorry, I always revert back to Star Wars. I am super excited about that. I have no idea what their soul is. Holy crap! What could that mean?
The soul thing.
I'm going to say deck. It's their deck.
I don't think so.
I don't think it's a deck. I don't think it's
going to be too broken, right? That'd be too. So maybe it's their soul's their hand?
No. I think.
Then what the hell could soul be?
Well, if you stop interrupting.
I can't.
So I think there may be a mechanic introduced that's something like some of these other games like Final Fantasy, Digimon, even Pokemon has like their prize cards.
I don't know
what that means.
Brian, you know what I'm talking about, correct?
It's like a little small deck that's
it's like you put cards off the top of your deck. And they set like four or five of them aside.
Okay.
All right.
And that's your soul?
And that's your soul.
And so you can play those cards at any time or?
I don't know, man. Like, I'm just guessing.
Okay,
guessing.
I got you.
Fucking spitballing. Like,
what if it's like Pogs? Or if I beat you, I get to take a card from your soul. It's like taking a Pog from you.
What?
Ooh.
Do I get to take your shit?
But these cards are expensive.
Yeah, I don't want you taking my shit.
I'm playing this card.
I don't think Andy's going to work. Andy is not going to work.
Yeah, I don't know what soul is exactly. The only thing I can think is going to be something similar to like the prize mechanic in Pokemon or Digimon.
It's got to be some sort of card pool.
So maybe your soul is off. You start your soul off after you draw your hand. Your soul count is... So many cards is X, and you X those cards on the side, and that's your soul.
So, yeah. So, like, and the way it works in some of the other games, like, once you shuffle your deck, you cut your deck, you figure out who goes first. You take four or five cards off the top of your deck, you lay them in a row, and that's, like, your trophies or your prize pool or whatever, right? So, when you do something in-game, you're able to grab one of those cards and bring it to hand.
Okay.
Okay? So, this might be a mechanic similar to that, where you set a certain number of cards aside as like your soul pool, and
you can play this card to basically banish one of those so they don't get that,
right? I don't know. Like I'm guessing.
Well, you banish it from their soul. What if it's a new tiebreaker mechanic?
Like that's possible. That's what it is too.
Well, also, I mean, Brian, you brought a good point with this card.
Yeah. Absolutely. So what I'm seeing right now is I see it as a sideboard card only, mainly because of the fact that you have to be playing against a light-sided character to make this really effective. Exactly. The second piece of it is definitely the fact that you may banish a card from your graveyard, which indicates that you're going to be utilizing your banish zone more. We already see that with Kano right now, where you banish a card from Kano and a couple other heroes, and you get to use it. So you're probably going to see a lot more of that kind of play as well coming forward, and the banish zone is going to be more prevalent.
Well, yeah. And we know going forward through these spoilers, there's another card that looks for cards in banish zone.
Yeah, that's exciting. Like being the fact that, like you said, it's a sideboard card. I could definitely see that. The fact that it's a shadow instant and. So it feels like going back to what we said, that now I can play like the shadow version of Dash, or I can play the light version of Dash, and then I can throw this card in there. Like that sounds like that's enticing. Like that's very enticing. Like it just changes my complete build of maybe of an old hero.
Probably not Dash because they still want mech cards, right?
Well, yeah, but Dash still, you know, I'm just saying, like if you're playing Control Dash, like why would this card not go in it for the sideboard? Sure. You know, it's a blue pitch, which Control Dash loves, and this is another control aspect of the game. Yeah. So it sounds very exciting. Shadow Wizard, Shadow Wizard. True, I can't Kano trigger it, but it's a blue pitch, and now I can play a control version of Wizard. That sounds fun too. So maybe Kano, who sucks in Classic Constructed can pop up with cards like that and start doing something. Who knows?
Yeah.
Another interesting thing is, go ahead, Brian.
No, go ahead.
Yes, yeah, I was seeing that since this is all whenever an attack you control hits light this turn, so if you have multiple attacks, that could add up pretty quickly, especially if they all hit.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Very true. Yeah. Actually, I'm looking at this. This won't go good in Kano because this is if you have
it more goes life. Real damn good in Runeblade though.
It does go real, and the border matches Runeblade if I'm not mistaken. But I've been drinking a lot. Does it match Runeblade?
Yeah, it's pretty close.
it is purple. Okay, so it goes real damn good in Runeblade.
Yeah.
So well,
speaking of mini attacks, the next card is called Eclipse. It is a blue pitch for zero, and this is a legendary. For Chain, which I imagine is a new hero, Chane. You can only have one in your deck, and only if your hero is Chain. You may play Eclipse only if you have played six or more cards with Blood Debt this turn. If you have, you may play Eclipse from your Banish Zone. Create an Urser, the Soul Reaper token. Also a Shadow Instant.
First off, can I say, how the hell do you play six or more cards in one turn?
Yeah, that was the first thing I saw.
What the hell? Card. How do you play six or more? I mean, I play Kano, and if I play six cards in one turn, I've got something going on.
I feel like you won.
Yeah, me too. How do you play six cards in one turn?
Yeah, it's a lot of cards.
I mean, what, you have Arsenal, four cards, as your Pursuit of Knowledge to get the fifth? But then that's only six. This is your seventh.
Or maybe we're going to see a character with higher intellect.
Look at you, Chris.
That
you're more than just good looks.
I want to know. All of a sudden. Thank you. Thank
you, Mike. Yeah. And I want to know what this token, the Soul Reaper token, is. I wouldn't be surprised if this is the reason why it's a legendary is because if this tricks off correctly, you actually get a legendary piece of equipment that's a token.
Right. A weapon makes sense.
You say
it's a Soul Reaper.
Yeah. Yep. Weapon sounds good. And I don't know. I'm gonna go on a limb. I'm probably wrong. I usually am. That it might be like a token character token.
Nah.
I know Soul Reaper. I mean, everyone knows.
It's a character that didn't start with a weapon and had to trigger something to make a kick-ass weapon sounds kind of interesting.
I could see it being an equipment, equipment or a weapon.
I see it being a weapon, but because everyone else said it, I'm gonna go with the character. But I'm probably
that's funny because when I said no, they're going to have light and shadow, you didn't just say something else. You just took it.
I did take it.
That was a good idea that you had, Mike, that Todd never thought of.
But Todd wasn't here.
That's cool.
So he couldn't. Yeah. You know what? Don't judge.
That's all I got right now, buddy.
Okay, I made Todd four.
Also, legendary status.
Yes.
Yes.
These are cards that are going in your deck now that are going to come in cold foil that are going to cost money.
How many legendaries are in this set?
Six.
Six legendaries. And we're looking at one right here.
Two. Yeah.
It's not
two in there.
We haven't talked about the other one yet, but this is one of them, and it's not an equipment.
Right. So right now, I think what we're looking at is two shadow and two light legendaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then two generic legendaries.
And then two generic legendaries, which would probably be generic equipment pieces.
I'm hoping, like the gloves and the boots.
It's either that or you've got two different character classes and they have to have their equipment legendary for that.
Possibly, but yeah. I see it being generic just because.
I think it's generic as well.
That sort of complete the set.
The set. And then how do you, I mean, so this is, this we're looking at, this is one character here. We're getting to another spoiler
Chanye.
Soon. Chanye.
That's what I'm calling Chanye.
Chanye. It could be Chanye. I don't see any. Chanye. I don't see the hyphen there, but it's
I'm
okay.
I'm calling Chanye.
That's fine. Chanye or Chain. And then we have another one we're going to talk about soon. That are both shadows. So we have two lights coming up that we obviously haven't been spoiled yet. We're just assuming. So that's an interesting legendary pool because normally with WTR and Arcane Rising.
Well, we can't say normally. We can only say what they've done in the past, right?
Touche, salesman. but we what they've done in the past is that they four classes, four legendary equipments for that class in that set. So this is different. So I'm wondering, are all the Majestics going to be their equipment? Maybe they're reducing the legendary cost for their equipment to Majestics, so it's easier to play those classes without having to go chasing for legendaries, right?
So you took my idea again.
I took it again, Todd.
That was what I said earlier.
But I've been drinking. and I didn't think about
Mike,
it.
Mike, you're so good with ideas.
I'm so good with ideas. I really am.
Only when he's drunk and hears it from somebody else.
Exactly. Brian, don't judge.
Yeah. Well, so my idea was that they may be moving the majority of the set pieces into the Majestic slot. And the reason for that is they'll give you a cold foil and a regular variant in the sets to help people be able to get these harder to get pieces to play these characters a little bit easier.
Yeah. Because in WTR and Arc, man, I went how long playing Dash without a Foundry Heart?
Yeah.
It took forever to get a Foundry Heart.
How long playing Kano without a tunic?
Ah, dude, I got – Brian is a cool dude because I got my tunic, what, yesterday, 2 days ago?
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's hard. And so maybe they're changing it up so that you can play these classes without having to pull a Legendary. Which is one per case.
Well, I mean, you're still going to be trying to pull the Majestics, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that seems easier than pulling a Legendary.
It does. And it feels like that way you'll know that each box will have a certain number of pieces in it.
Yeah. Right.
So I also think that'll help balance out some of the limited play as well. If this is what they're doing, I'm only assuming we could also not be getting four new classes.
Yeah.
Chain, well, that's what I've been thinking.
Chain could be the Blitz version of Viscerai.
I mean, Chanye?
Chanye. You're right. It could be Chanye.
So,
well, we have one more spoiler.
Two more.
Do we have a fourth one?
I thought we did.
Well, why don't we go over this next one first?
Let's do that. And somebody do some recon for me while I'm reading this. We're sticking in the Shadow Realm. This one's called Doomsday. It is also a blue pitch for zero. This is also a legendary, and it's a legendary Levia specialization. So Levia will likely be a new hero. Can only have one in your deck, and only if your hero is Levia. Play Doomsday only if there are six or more cards with Blood Debt in your Banished Zone.
So here's the Banished Zone card.
Create a Blasmaphet, the Soul Harvester token.
I think these are armors or weapons.
I hope they're weapons, because that sounds much cooler than a piece of armor.
That's true.
And they're called Soul Harvester.
And we also, now we...
I'm going to harvest your soul from my helmet.
Well, this is the second card that has just talks about Blood Debt.
Yeah.
And it's a different hero doing Blood Debt.
Uh-huh.
Or it's a second version of one hero.
Yeah.
True.
Chanye and Levia.
It could be Chanye and Levia, and they're one's Blitz and one's Classic Constructed. That's true.
I'm going to rename all the characters just so we know.
That might be a little weird, but that's it's a little possibility.
Weird. That is a little weird. Who knows?
We don't know. We're just guessing. We're just freestyling here. Like Chanye.
Chanye? Yeah. So, is that like Shane Pagan?
More like Kanye.
Yeah, that's what I was going for.
I was going with Shane Pagan.
Yeah, because you're drunk.
Well, it is Shane Pagan. as the poor sound goes through the microphone. I didn't think that through. It's okay.
Yeah, these leave a lot of questions.
Yeah. The Blood Debt stuff sounds interesting because it sounds like you're expected to play a lot of them.
Yes.
So does that mean a bigger hand size? Does that mean it's going to be a lot of go again? Does it have card draw? There's a lot of different ways to get a lot of cards out.
Card draw or banish the top card.
I wonder if it could be something like Necropotence.
Or is it casting cards from your graveyard?
No.
I think it would probably be something like a card for life.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what it is. Blood Debt. Think about it. You are like a blood mage. I need to not only pay the cost, I got to pay two life to be able to cast this. So the more you have in there taking damage and throwing it into your... You know, into your banish zone, so you can get Doomsday out. For instance,
Is Blood Mage another way to say Necromancer?
No, there's another way to say Blood Mage.
Damn it! I want Necromancer.
And they're a little different.
All right.
So interesting. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on with these cards because there's a whole bunch of keywords we know nothing about.
Yeah.
I know everything about them. I'm just not telling you.
Yeah, you wait for Todd to tell you.
Exactly. Then when Todd tells me, I'll take credit for it.
Yeah. I'll get to you in a little while, Mike.
Something I think that should be brought up is the art for this stuff is so cool.
Oh my goodness.
The art is really, really good.
If you guys have gone through the spoilers for the art that they released yesterday or the day before, it's all super awesome.
Puts the magic to shame.
Like, they really hit the theme of the shadow and the light. Just really reinforce Mike's really good idea.
It was such a good idea. I'm so glad I came up with it.
Well, in fact, that's probably what the delay is. They had to pivot to take your idea.
They heard it, and they were like, oh, my God.
They're like, oh, my God, why didn't we think of that?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. It took them a week to reset and redo everything. That makes sense.
Yeah, just one week.
Just 1 week.
Yeah.
I mean, because LSS is awesome.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
That's why they are air freighting it over here. They're like, you know what? These guys deserve it because that was such a good idea.
Exactly.
Because they gave us the idea.
You're welcome, Flesh and Blood community.
That's definitely the beer talking.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm drinking rum tonight.
So did anybody do any more recon?
So far, it looks like that's the only three that we have gotten.
So okay. We got Doomsday, yep.
Just three.
Eclipse, and what was the other? Eclipse Existence.
And Doomsday, yeah. And that's, yeah. And, yep, that's it.
I love the art on Doomsday as well. Like, that art is just really cool. I saw that when they spoiled it the other day, and
I'm not going to lie. Just Eclipse is plain Jane, but still, I can't wait to see that car foiled.
I want to know what the card is that looks like a Tool album cover.
A Tool album cover?
Yeah, you saw that art, right?
I mean,
I know they have one that looks like another Enlightened Strike, but it looks like it's hammering a kingdom this time.
That's going to be we're supposing that's going to give Warrior a way to do arcane damage.
Enlightened Strike yellow.
Or just Enlightened Strike yellow. No, that's going to be now Warrior can get even better and do arcane damage that you can't block.
Or is it just another set of really good generic attacks like Enlightened and Command and Conquer?
Yeah, I mean, Command and Conquer Blue. There probably should be another good generic attack in this set.
I'm not going to lie. If they release a blue Command and Conquer or a yellow Enlightened Strike, it's still going to the decks.
That would be a pretty cool theme, though, if there were generic attacks from each set that kind of use that similar art style.
I do like – I mean, every set so far, other than Crucible, so two-thirds of the sets that come out have had generic attacks that very
Crucible
prominent.
Had one.
Yeah, but it wasn't that good.
Coax of Commotion, right? Was that the one?
Coax of Commotion.
So, well, I'm not going to say it's not good.
It's good in certain lists. It's
like John, one of our local Warrior players, has put some work in with that card. Another good generic attack action. That's what that one looks like. But the artwork looks phenomenal. I can't wait to see some of the foils and cold foils of this set. I'm super excited.
That's a blood debt, right? Like this blood tree.
That blood tree, that's definitely a blood debt.
Like that's some
shit. We gotta get these pictures up on our
on
our page that we have a page, right?
Yeah, we got a page.
Yep. Sometimes.
Yep, sometimes we do.
That's cool. Brian, do you want to go over any of the stuff as far as like the recent announcements, the card values, anything that you've seen that's been a trend as of late or something that might be helpful to the public?
I mean, you're still looking at crew boxes spiking again. What, now they're out at like 1,300 and 6,000 per case and stuff of that nature and sanity. All of the staples are any of the good ones are well over $100 that you're seeing and across a lot of different classes or just a little bit higher. They did have an official announcement of unlimited crews. So wait, you'll be getting those cards right after Monarch and not before Kingdoms. So that's going to help. But other than that, once again, because of the influx of Arcane and WTR Unlimited, the rest of the generics, even though they are still expensive at around, 50 to 60, depending on what you're looking for, they're not like $200 because there's no product available that's coming out. So, yeah. And the only other thing is that, Monarch First Edition, once again, you already knew it was going to be expensive. You didn't get your pre-orders in. Now you're looking at about $400 plus a box. So hopefully you got your pre-orders in or you're going to have to wait for Unlimited. And we'll see how it goes from there.
And if I could, if anybody does listen to this, if you're considering pre-ordering Unlimited, you should do it now.
Yes.
Yeah. Monarch Unlimited is going to be gone faster than anything else that you've seen. Because you're going to have a lot of new stores coming in on that set. So that product is going to get spread out even more. And so it's going to get picked up even faster.
Yeah.
I
just interject here. Like in our local community, on average, we were doing 10 to 12 a night. And within a couple of weeks, we're expecting on average close to 20 and still growing. And Our event today wasn't 20 plus due to the fact that we had players that come on a regular basis, just have
Something,
you know,
come up.
Something come up. Life happened. You know, we can name players like up to 6 to 7 players of just that come every week that just didn't show up. Like, this game is growing. Yeah. So with Monarch coming out and people being able to get into buy Monarch and get these new classes without having to maybe go back and get WTR and Arcane Rising to get those cards, and all they need from those sets are maybe an Arts of Wars or Command and Conquers and Enlightened Strikes or Tomes of Fiendal, you know, they can still build decks out of Monarch. And so Monarch is going to sell like crazy. So if you don't have any Monarch stuff set up or pre-ordered or unlimited pre-ordered, do it now, because unless you don't want to play any of the new stuff coming up and you want to keep on playing Dorinthea because you think it's the best deck out there, which, I mean, according to our Skirmish event, it may not be the best deck out there.
I'm just glad Brute won.
Yeah,
that was a good change.
What's exciting is that in our event, the top four were four different decks.
Yes, it was four different decks.
Oh, our top four is 2 Iras and 2 Kanos. Like, how boring would that be?
Yeah. You
know, our top four was four different decks.
Yep.
It was Brute, Kano, Ira, and Dorinthea. You know?
Yep, it was a good spread.
It was a good spread.
So, it was missing a Guardian.
It was missing a Guardian.
Somebody cheated
and Chris knocked me out. I wanted you to be there.
Yeah, it was missing a Reinar, too.
I did say, Chris, the winner of our match is going to knock the other one out. I did say
that's
that.
That's true.
I did say that.
That's what happened.
That is what happened.
Those tiebreakers were real scary. I mean, it was really close.
Well, so the other thing you have to remember, too, again, and I go back to this every time we have this conversation privately, is when you look at the tournament numbers, when the tournament numbers start to scale up, you start to see better cuts.
Yeah.
Yes. And we got a cut to the top four because we had 16. If we scale up over 24, somewhere in that ballpark, that cut grows.
Yes.
And then you start to get all of your X and ones and maybe an X and two that makes the cut. And that's the thing, right? So as these groups grow and as these communities get bigger, these cuts aren't going to feel as bad, and we're going to see the same things we saw in Destiny where it makes sense.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
But on these smaller events, like, yeah, it's going to hurt.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because we had a couple 3-in-1s. At least one, maybe 2 3-in-1s.
I think we had 2 3-in-1s that didn't make.
That didn't make top cut. In other words, I made top cut with 3-in-1s because my one loss was to an undefeated.
Yeah, in the final round, right?
I lost round 2 to the undefeated.
Okay.
But the other 3-in-1s lost round 1 and tried to submarine up.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that the more rounds we get, the more people we get showing up, then those cuts start getting better and start getting different. Yep. So
they'll get a lot cleaner,
right? They'll get a lot cleaner, and you can lose round 1 and not feel terrible about it. You know, honestly, in my personal opinion, a skirmish event seems like what it would be with like a local regional.
Yeah,
when you're expecting 50, 60 players,
that's where you want it,
right? But COVID, you know, puts a shutdown on that. Yep. And, you know, we hope soon that goes away, and we can start seeing some of these big events.
And we've been lucky here. Like, our state eased up restrictions about a month ago.
Right, and we were able to actually do an event like this without restrictions.
Yeah, and we've been able to run events for the past couple months with restrictions.
Consistently.
So. Yeah. Consistently, yeah.
I mean, like, this week alone, we ran 3 events in the shop.
Yep.
Like,
yeah, we ran one Friday, and you ran 2 today.
Yeah.
Because when the players didn't make the top cut,
I ran another.
You ran another event afterwards. Like,
get all your blitz out now.
If you want to do another event for those that didn't make the top four, let's do another one. Yeah. And you ran another event. So
yeah, and I gave out another. I gave out another cold foil too.
Because you're a cool dude, Todd.
Whatever, Mike.
I mean,
stop taking my ideas. Shut up.
I mean, I gotta give him credit where credit's due, right?
I'll take what little I get.
So you guys feel like wrapping this thing up?
I mean, I think that's good. Just keep an eye out, man. There's going to be a lot of spoilers coming up here these next couple weeks.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of spoilers. I wish we could talk about it more. Maybe we could try to fit in another show.
Maybe.
Might be worth it with the spoilers. Yeah. Keep an eye out for that.
Because of spoilers,
Also keep an eye on the Crack Bobble, Brian's YouTube channel, because he's going to be posting up these skirmish games when we get the footage out there. We'll also put them up on the From the Arsenal page. And then we'll talk to you before Monarch actually drops. So we'll give you another reminder. But also bookmark those two pages, the Crack Bobble and From the Arsenal, because there's going to be a ton of first edition Monarch case openings too.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
That's going to be awesome.
I'm excited to open. So I'm going to have to go get some like white jeweler's gloves. I'm scared to touch the cards.
Yeah.
I'm going to
riffle shuffle. My dirty hands.
I'm going to riffle shuffle my decks.
You're a damn liar.
I would pay to see that. Yeah, well, let's
will
just
you
do
pay the price of the card to say that?
Let's just do a stream where we can get some donations, and Mike will riffle shuffle first edition Monarch for the entirety of the stream.
All right, quick thing on the financial side. Just got word people are buying out Etherize right now. You heard it first. Buy Etherize now.
I'm so glad I got my playset.
Why? Why is that? Why is that a hot commodity now?
It cancels incense.
Bingo.
It cancels incense.
Oh, counter spells.
Counter spells. Blue pitch. Huh. Blue pitch. Counter instance.
Interesting.
Hey, Kano. And apparently, there might be another class that works on instant speed coming up.
Well, or the fact that all those shadow cards are instants.
I'm so glad I got Aetherized. I'm so glad I got Aetherized. Holy crap.
Is that a crew? I think that's crew, isn't it?
It's crew. It's
oh
crew.
Oh, my God. It's another
that
one.
That card is going to be...
Another $100 coming up.
Easily. Because it's a majestic.
Oh, Jesus.
If it's not $100 now, it's going to definitely be $100 soon.
Is it really? Wow.
It's a majestic from crew.
Do we have numbers on what it's at right now?
Let's check it.
Oh, I'm so glad I got an Aetherize already. Holy crap.
Well, I didn't open any crew, so I don't have any.
Well, I mean, I didn't open any crew either. Him. I just bought one because I play Kano.
Might have to.
Jesus. Aetherize. $60 already.
For a card being played right now.
And it's the only listing right now. It's the only listing on TCG Player.
For a card being played.
They all got bought out as soon as those spoilers hit.
Todd, do you have any Aetherize?
Oh, yeah. I got like four of them.
I'm going to buy one right now before we leave.
Nope. I closed the register.
Sons of bitches.
$60.
Call the first, Mike. I'll fight you.
If you fight me, I'll slap you and run.
You ain't going nowhere.
I got a bad hip. I can't run that fast. Just so you know, Chris got me by 100 pounds.
All right.
So I guess we're going to cut out of here and look for all the Aetherize we could find.
Yeah.
I'm sitting on gold, Ryan. I got one.
Told you. For a box, estimated value up another $200. So $1,600 probably now for a box. Jesus.
Exactly, because Aetherize is a majestic. You might pull one per box now.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'm going to have to go through and count them.
Yep. Keep an eye on our Facebook. Keep an eye on the Crack Bobble. Keep an eye on the From the Arsenal YouTube page. We might be able to sneak in another episode, talk some more spoilers with you guys. Otherwise, we will catch you in 2 weeks, just before the big drop.
If you're not following us, then it's your fault.
Well, that's a good way to put it, Mike.
Good job,
just heard
Mike.
You on the podcast. Yeah.
I'm not wrong.
Yeah. Good job, Mike. Good job. Value add. I like it.
Yeah, cut that promo.
Love you guys.
He's good at him.
All right, guys. Until next time.
Deuces?
Nothing.
Bitches.
Laters.
I said, really? Thank you. I said deuces. He said laters. At least we're polite about it.
It's weak.